Discussion in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Michelle A. Lawless is proud to be a Purse Strings approved professional. As a divorce attorney and certified mediator, Michelle brings over 20 years of experience, acumen, creativity, and empathy to the legal process. She's a voice of reason in family law with the goal of creating a better, more compassionate way to navigate emotional and financially complex cases. To learn more about Michelle's practice, visit malfamilylaw.com, that's malfamilylaw.com, or check her out at pursestrings.co.
Thank you, fearless listeners, and go you for hitting play. Please like and subscribe as it helps us grow. Also, share this with a friend as we have to keep talking about this shit. Now let's dive in.
Coming up on today's edition of Women and Money, The Shit We Don't Talk About, our guest is Claudia Porter, financial advisor with Financial Reserve Incorporated.
Claudia is one of our Purse Strings approved professionals, and she hails from Portland, Oregon.
We're excited to have Claudia on today as she has a story to tell.
Yes, if you are going through a divorce or have gone through a divorce, then you know how difficult it can be. But wait until you hear Claudia's story about tenacity.
Let's jump in and get started.
Gloria Steinem once said, "We will never solve the feminization of power until we solve the masculinity of wealth." Barbara Provost and Maggie Nielsen are the team at Purse Strings that will help you navigate the ins and outs of financial independence so that you can be financially fearless. This is Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about.
Divorce happens. It does. We all go into marriages with the intention of happily ever after. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. Trigger warning. This podcast does talk about an abusive relationship.
Hey, Claudia, it's so good to have you join us today. Could you take a minute to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Maggie and Barbara. It's great to be here. Yes, I'm a certified financial planner. I joined my firm Financial Reserve in 2016. And I hold a FINRA Series 7 and 66 license with Cambridge Investment Research, also life and health licenses. I was born and raised in Germany and have a master's in teaching English and French from Georg August University of Göttingen. Also have a PhD in applied linguistics from Technical University of Braunschweig. And I spent my previous academic career in adult education, teaching linguistics and English to international students, both in Germany and in the U.S. prior to joining Financial Reserve. I also worked with Merrill Lynch Wealth Management for a couple of years. I am the mother of four boys, and I enjoy spending time with them, pursuing outdoor activities, playing tennis, swimming, biking, fishing, and reading.
You guys are also all black belts, right?
Yes, we all did Taekwondo together, and we all have a black belt in Taekwondo.
I just love to throw that fact in there with everything else that you have going on. It's amazing to me. But thank you for coming on today. We're so excited. So let's dig in because we have a lot of questions for you.
So, Claudia, why don't you share a short version of your experience in an abusive relationship, specifically with how financial abuse showed up?
Yeah, my experience with financial abuse stems from my marriage and divorce from the father of my four sons. Throughout my marriage, my then husband kept financial information from me and never allowed me to participate in meetings with his financial advisor. He was in a position to choose not to work full time, but in 2009 and 2010, he was worried about the longevity of his portfolio after the Great Recession of 2008. And when I suggested I get my career back on track and generate a family income, I was not allowed to and told I couldn't make any such decisions. Our marital problems grew over time. And during a counseling session, he stated that he had made sure with a prenuptial agreement that he had me sign before proposing to me and without full legal disclosure of what this even entailed. that I could never divorce him because if I dared to leave him, I would be homeless and penniless. After an extensive search in the house, I found the document, and with about 8 more years of English, I then understood that I had the right to take this document to an attorney to have it explained to me. And it took me time to learn about my marriage and divorce rights while faced with adversity in the marital home and threats about being put on the street. But I found a top-notch attorney who took my case, and the divorce was finalized after 2 years with an award of full custody, a settlement, and spousal support. However, after this, my ex appealed the financial award all the way to the Supreme Court of Oregon. And during this 4-year appellate process, the settlement was frozen. So I supported myself and the children with the support I was getting and started a new career as a financial advisor that I'm very passionate about. The case was ultimately dismissed by the Supreme Court of Oregon, and it was affirmed that I would get the small percentage of his assets that I had been awarded to be able to raise the children.
Wow. So does that mean that you did sign a prenup?
I did, at a time that I was very clear that I didn't understand what the purpose of this was and what it entailed. And it wasn't made clear to me what I was signing there. There was no lawyer present at the time of signature.
Got it. Interesting.
I was told it was just something that people sign here when they get married to make sure I wasn't in the relationship for the money.
Got it. Well, first lesson, everybody should know what they're signing before they sign anything, right? It's very interesting.
Yes.
But it didn't hold up, did it?
No, it was thrown out because it was decided there was not a meeting of the minds because I didn't have full disclosure of what I was signing.
Got it. Okay, so let's talk about what common pitfalls women fall into with financial abuse.
Yeah, some of the common pitfalls I see for women who go through financial abuse are having joint accounts with their husband without realizing the danger of having the account cleared out without their knowledge, or possibly not having visibility of bank or investment accounts, or being excluded from meetings with their financial advisor and not knowing where any of the assets are. Having joint credit cards with maxed out credit or missing payments that you may not even be aware of can ruin your credit score and make it extremely difficult to get credit, such as a mortgage on a house or personal loans after you leave the marital home. And then financial abuse also manifests itself in the form of filing a joint tax return and being responsible for jointly owed taxes if the ex-husband does not pay the tax owed. There's actually a request for innocent spouse relief form that can be filed with the IRS if you believe that your spouse or ex-spouse alone is responsible for the tax payment, for example, if you don't have earned income for the tax year. And many women don't know about this. Another pitfall I've seen is women thinking they have to pay all of their attorney fees along the way, even if they're not able to do so. And a good attorney will really understand what payments you're able to make and will work out an installment plan during a pending case. What I frequently see women struggle with is ask for help because they think they have to be self-sufficient and responsible to work through this on their own. And women also have a tendency to ask for the marital home during the divorce proceedings without really thinking this through as to whether that is in their best interest. Some homes require a lot of work, which can be costly. So in some cases, it may be in the best interest of the women to get a settlement and buy a different home in which to raise the children. And other more subtle ways of financial abuse are, for example, being forced to miss work, causing you to be late for whatever reason, or limiting your work hours during the times that you can work, persuading you to have a lesser career and make less money, or convincing you that you're not good enough for the type of career that you would like to have.
Wow, there are a couple different topics I want to touch on in there, since that was a great thorough list of getting some ideas turning. That first one is avoiding the meeting with the financial professional. And to me, that's already a flag of you're not working with a good professional, because both people should be at the table and both people should really be included in this plan. And for his financial professional to never reach out and have contact with you is a bold statement coming from him. And I'm sure you don't work with him now either.
No, No, I'm my own financial professional.
Yes, definitely. But that's a huge red flag. And if you're not working with a financial professional and talking to them at least yearly, there is something wrong there. Mm-hmm. But then the other one was the taxes. And so many times we hear women say, I didn't know, I was just told to sign on the paper. And we can't just, you know, hand over our signatures like that, because it does affect our finances, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that there is that kind of clause where your ex has to take care of the taxes if that was really them as the income earner. Mm-hmm. And that's something we need to be talking about for sure. But being part of the conversation is essential.
Yes.
I mean, I could just keep going here, just down this list, because then you're talking about your attorney and your attorney fees. And so many people think that they can't start with an attorney because, you know, they don't have thousands up front, which makes sense if you're going through divorce and in a, this financial abusive relationship. But at the end of the day, you did receive some finances and you were able to pay, get out of that situation, get yourself a job and kind of pay back those things. So working with the right professional, again, is essential.
Yes.
That they understand your story.
Yeah.
That they give you this opportunity. Because I was just talking to some other women and they felt so stuck because of this, because they could not pay their professionals. But usually by the end of the day, you will get some money and can pay them back.
Yes. Yes. And I did not have funds. I thought I did not have funds to retain an attorney at the beginning, but I figured out how to come up with a retainer.
Can you share that story?
Yes. What I ended up doing is I sold the original stones of my diamond ring and had synthetic stones made that looked just the same. And I had to wait for the stones to be cut just right. I waited for 3 weeks and switched them out. And then with the money I received for the original diamond stones, I retained my attorney.
I think that's the most brilliant plan around.
What? How did you ever come up with that?
You know, during the time that we were having great marital problems, I found myself looking at my ring at some point and thought it's just meaningless. Why am I still wearing this? And then I looked at it as a resource and I thought, there's my way out.
That sounds like a Lifetime movie. So did he ever figure that out?
Yes, we had a deposition about finances and I had to declare everything that I had that was worth more than $2,000. And so the question about the ring came up and I admitted that that was no longer the marital ring that it used to be. So it was quite the shock, but it came up in that deposition.
Which, you know, we have to think outside of the box if, you know, you're forced to miss work, forced to get a less career. And, you know, granted, staying at home with four kids for a while makes a lot of logical sense. But after that, you know, to just tell someone they're not good enough for these positions will keep you trapped, because then you fall into that mindset. But you also think about, there's no way for me to get access to these funds. So thinking like that is so, so brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah. So share some first steps for women who are trying to leave or have left an abusive relationship to get back on their feet financially.
Yeah. So some steps to take after leaving an abusive relationship that you can take are, you know, first one is open a checking and savings account in your name only. And then build and maintain a safety net by saving for an emergency fund and work on restoring and maintaining your credit. So for example, you could rebuild your credit by making regular payments on a credit card that is only in your name. You will want to freeze your credit accounts and sign up for fraud alerts, which reduces the chances of having credit cards opened in your name. And then also be sure to sign up with an identity theft program and keep all your financial information and important personal documents in a safe place, such as legal and financial documents, birth certificates, credit card statements, social security numbers, health records, and so on. Retain and seek employment. Have your paycheck deposited in your own account. And be sure to talk to people whom you trust about your situation and seek advice. And if family or friends are not an option, be sure to reach out to local domestic abuse support groups or other counselors. And you're going to want to document any further abuse that might be happening after leaving the relationship and keep the documentation in a safe place in case you need it for any future court hearings. And be sure to talk to a qualified financial advisor. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling actually offers free advice about dealing with debt, a mortgage, or credit issues, and can help you create a step-by-step plan to repair your credit and rebuild your finances.
I love that. Those are all great tips. And it's really just important to start separating yourself, it sounds like, you know, your own bank account, your own credit card.
Yeah.
Make sure you're staying protected with that identity protection, because you knew how powerful this person was at one point. Chances are they might try to come back and do something as well. So you want to make sure that's protected every step of the way. And I really like that idea of keeping any other outreach or abuse after the court hearings logged as well before they come back to saying, you know, you're crazy, you're crazy. No, yeah. I have it here. I have it logged down. I can tell you the time and the place and what went down and keep that, in a safe journal.
Yeah.
I just have a question about that. Was there a point where you thought to yourself, like, you think you go along in your life and this is just the way it is in my household, but did you ever think to yourself, this is financial abuse? Like a trigger went off in your head, like this just isn't right?
I didn't think of it as financial abuse. I just constantly had this triggers that something was completely off, that it was out of balance and it wasn't how I wanted my life to be.
Perfect. Yeah. Because I think, you know, it's kind of that boiling frog analogy. We don't realize we're in these situations till all of a sudden it's gotten so bad that you just know you need to make a move. And then in hindsight, you can reflect and kind of say, wow, I had no idea, you know, this action was taking place or this action was taking place or that I was doing this or he was doing that. And in reflection, you kind of say, you know, when you look at your list of what's financial abuse, this is what it is.
Yes. Yeah. I started journaling at some point because I couldn't quite figure out what was off. And I thought if I write it down, what's happening, and then reread it later with some distance between me and the paper that I'm looking at, I could possibly understand what is happening. And that's how I kind of understood what was going on.
Yeah. That's awesome. Journaling is awesome.
And so, how can you kind of best plan for litigation with an abusive ex from a financial perspective?
Great question. So I would say preparing for litigation with an abusive ex starts, first of all, with shifting your mindset to certain expectations. So you're going to want to expect that your ex wants to control all family financial resources and will thus refuse to cooperate, refuse to provide documents, refuse to comply with court orders, refuse to settle. And all of this with the intent to drag out the legal process, because the longer the divorce takes, the more it costs and the more opportunity he has to control you. So your mindset in going through this and in dealing with any possible post-divorce court hearings is of the essence, because a financially abusive ex will try to intimidate and discourage you from the mere chance of getting out of the relationship and creating financial stability. So be sure to stay true to yourself and document everything that is said and done. Keep your interactions with your ex prior to and during the divorce proceedings to a minimum and limit them to business-like conversations. And most of all, you have to believe in resolution and success. And with this in mind, you will need to prepare with a few steps in advance of the divorce. So you're going to want to have funds on hand. Mm-hmm. So whatever you can stash away in preparing for your exit, save it. If you haven't worked and your savings are minimal to none, work with your attorney to get a temporary support and temporary custody order in place. Or if you have trusted friends or family members who can help out, accept their help. And then be sure to establish a good credit rating in your own name. This is important to qualify for personal loans. And you may need to take the extra time to get a good credit rating before you can start the divorce proceedings. Gather all financial paperwork, as your ex may not provide any, such as income tax returns, business financial statements, bank statements, loan applications, retirement and pension assets, brokerage statements, life insurance, debts, real property holdings, mortgage statements, personal property, vehicles, credit cards, memberships, and so on. And then assemble the best divorce team possible. Find an attorney who has experience with financial abuse, possibly involve a financial planner who has experience with this, and a qualified therapist. And then retain or seek employment and make sure you continue saving for post-divorce hearings, which are frequently the case with a controlling ex who is financially abusive.
That's a great point to kind of prepare for even more court, because I feel like, yeah, once you're in this situation, you think you're done, but they're not done. They're not going to let you off so easy.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, the last thing in there is a therapist. This, so much of this seems really mental as well as financial. And so you need either someone who understands that, either a therapist, a coach, you know, a behavioral financial professional, somebody who really understands how these two go hand in hand, because your relationship with money will be different for a little bit, I think. And so you really want to make sure that you're doing well as a person and then you're doing well financially as well.
Yes.
So do you have, I mean, this has been an amazing conversation. Your experience and sharing it is so valuable for other women. You can't even imagine. Do you have any parting thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I think the number one thing I want to say for everybody is just to encourage all women who are going through this or who are thinking about embarking on this journey of getting out of a bad situation, to just have the faith and courage to take the first step, because I didn't know all the steps. I kind of found the steps along the way. I took the first step by putting down the retainer for my attorney, and you will figure out the steps along the way, but there is a way out, and you already have everything within you that you need, because there is a better side, a better life on the other side.
That's great. That's great. And reach out to Purse Strings. We're happy to help you start with, you know, attorneys or professionals to get you in touch, to get these conversations going, because we want all women to really live their best life and be financially fearless and, you know, be as successful as you are now. You're so successful running. You got your CFP, you got your black belt, you got your boys. So it's awesome to see how far you've come. And, you know, I can see that you're very happy now, which is also exciting to see.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And Claudia, as you well know, is one of our Purse Strings approved professionals. You can find her on the Purse Strings site, pursestrings.co. But Claudia, how else can people reach out to you?
People can find me at our website at financialreserve.com. And we have, if you go to the website, there's, if you click on team, it'll pull up the entire team and you can find me there and find my contact information on that website.
Okay, Claudia Porter. So look for Claudia Porter. So Claudia, thank you so much for your bravery and for coming on and sharing your powerful story with our following. And we just, you know, you're just a proven success story, is that you can take that first step and be successful and come out the other side happy and in a whole new life. So we appreciate you. For everyone out there, we will see you on the next podcast. Please share this important information with your BFF, your friends, your moms, your sisters, all women who might be struggling with this situation. As for now, let's be financially fearless.
Discussion in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.
Michelle A. Lawless is proud to be a Purse Strings approved professional. As a divorce attorney and certified mediator, Michelle brings over 20 years of experience, acumen, creativity, and empathy to the legal process. She's a voice of reason in family law with the goal of creating a better, more compassionate way to navigate emotional and financially complex cases. To learn more about Michelle's practice, visit malfamilylaw.com. That's malfamilylaw.com, or check her out at pursestrings.co.